In this message, we'll be looking at the parable of Jesus bothering on the separation of the sheep from the goats. As we listen to this message, let us understand that the parables of Jesus are parables that are present and continuous. What do I mean by present and continuous? It means that these parables are applicable now. Wherever you stand, as you listen to these parables, they are applicable to you and to the nations around you this very, very, very moment. The parables are not historical accounts or accounts for some kind of future event. Because people read these scriptures and formulate all kind of ideas. Ideas of the end of the world. Ideas of Jesus coming from the sky with angels to judge the world. Ideas of a geographical location where people are cast into, where they burn and they roast, you know, in what people call hell forever and ever. Now, all those are just the imaginations of men who have not come to understand the language of the Spirit. Bear in mind that as Jesus Christ went about his ministry, it was simply the Spirit of God speaking through Jesus. It was the eternal Spirit of God. He wrapped up in that physical body, in that vessel, preaching the mind of the Spirit. That's why we are admonished to listen to what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus Christ did not come to judge the world. He didn't come to punish anybody, but he simply came to reveal to mankind the way back into glory. See it? It is written that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. I'm going to read from the Basic English Translation, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The Basic English Translation says, everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Jesus Christ, who sets them free. So you can see his work, see it, his work upon the earth was to restore the goodwill of the Father towards us, to bring an awareness and to cause men to enter back into that loving presence of the Father and to once more partake of the glory of the Father. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but in Christ Jesus we are restored. So you see, these parables give us a hint on how we can enter in and be partakers right now. We don't have to die to be partakers of God's promises. We don't have to wait for something to happen tomorrow to be partakers of God's promises. It is written that while it is yet today, you see it, while it is today, incline your ear to listen harden not your heart. Praise God. Harden not your heart. Hallelujah. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but rather yield to the voice of the Spirit. Because the voice of the Spirit is like a guiding, you know, force to lead us back into the realm of unlimited blessings in God. Hallelujah. Piercing through the heavens and arriving back into that pure consciousness where everything is beautiful. That is paradise. Paradise is a consciousness. It's a state that God wants to elevate his sons back into. No more, so that they no more live in that state, sensing themselves to be far apart from God, absent from the reality of God's blessings. See, always feeling that God is after you, always feeling that, you know, you are not pleasing God. All that is abolished as you allow the Spirit lead you back into the presence. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So we're going to examine the parable separating the sheep from the goats. When you hear parables like this, it is, you can look at them first of all inwardly within yourself and without yourself. Praise God. Because you yourself personally, you have your own world, you have your own world, your own universe within yourself. And you can also look at it without, as all the nations. And I'm going to start off from Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd separated sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left hand. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Praise God. For I was an hungered and you gave me meat. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and, you know, hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And whence we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, very verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Praise God. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was in prison, you did not visit me. I was sick, you did not visit me. Then shall they say unto him, saying, Lord, whence saw we thee hungry or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, very verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Praise God. So we can see a separation of the sheep from the goats. The goats inherit a kingdom. The sheep inherit a kingdom. The sheep inherit eternal life. Praise God. The sheep are the blessed of the Lord. They inherit a kingdom that has been prepared from the foundation of the world. Now mark all these words, are very, very important. While the goats are cast into hell, cast into everlasting fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. And everlasting fire is actually the lake of fire, which you see in the book of Revelation. The lake of fire, like we're going to understand shortly, these are spiritual terms used by, you know, by God to describe the dissolving or the dissolution, the destruction of anything that is contrary to the truth as they appear before the presence of God. So Jesus Christ speaks here about the coming of the Son of Man in his glory and coming with his holy angels with him. He speaks about the Son of Man seated upon his throne of glory and now judging the nations upon the earth. Oh, praise God. Now, this is very similar to what John the Apostle saw in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, from verse 11. He says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Praise God. So you can see Jesus Christ with his parable on the separation of the sheep and goats was actually speaking about that same thing that John saw in the book of Revelation chapter 20, which we, you know, is fondly called the white throne judgment. Praise God. Because these are spiritual events. Because never will you see a big chair in the sky. Never will you see a big chair in Jerusalem with one shiny personality sitting upon it. Now these are things that are discerned spiritually. I personally stand before that throne. Praise God. I personally, I have stood before that throne for over 25 years. Praise God. How does this throne of glory appear? Because that Paul says that we all shall appear before the throne. We all shall appear before the throne to receive of the things we have done in this body. Now, our appearing before the throne occurs as we hear the voice of truth. It occurs as we perceive the voice of the Spirit. We are summoned before his invisible presence. Bear in mind that God is invisible, and the things that pertain to God and his kingdom, his throne and whatever, it's all invisible. When you say throne, it's not talking about sitting down physically. Throne talks about an exalted position, a seat. Oh, praise God. And we appear before the throne as we perceive the voice of truth. Praise God. Yes. The voice of the Spirit, which is the message of the kingdom, reveals the Lord of glory. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, when John heard the voice of the Alpha and the Omega, and the Alpha and Omega in this instance is the Christ, is the Spirit, is the Lord of glory. When he heard the voice, he turned around to see the voice. Praise God. So you see the revealing or the unveiling of God's throne or God's presence occurs as we hear the voice of the Spirit, which is none other than the message of God's kingdom, the gospel. Praise God. In Romans chapter 1, it says that the invisible things of God are being made plain, being made manifest. We begin to see the invisible attributes of God. Things, his presence, his invisible presence, and everything about God is plainly being understood as we hear the message of the kingdom. Praise God. So you see, what happens as you are hearing the message of truth is that you are being ushered in before that presence. Jesus Christ says the hour comes when those who are dead in their graves, and of course he's not referring to those in the cemetery out there, because we all died in Adam. We all, when we walked in ignorance, we were all asleep in that grave, exactly like Adam. Adam died, he was buried, dust to earth, dust to return. And we all have inherited that deadened state of Adam. You see, but it says that the hour comes when those who are in their graves hear the voice of the Son of Man, praise God, and those who have done good will arise to eternal life, and those who have done evil to eternal condemnation. So we can see that it is the same thing. It's the same thing with this same parable of separating the sheep from the goat. Because what happens is that as we hear the voice of truth, we are being ushered into his presence. Praise God. And anything that is not agreeable with the Lord has to go through what we call the burning fires of hell, the lake of fire. Now Jesus Christ says those who have done good, which are the sheep, inherit eternal life. Now what does it mean to do good? Does it mean I have to get religious? How can I find myself among the sheep of God? What does it mean to be a sheep of God or to be a goat? Does it mean I have to go to church every Sunday? Does it mean I have to be called a Christian? How can we practice good? What does it mean to be good? See, Jesus Christ says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. See, those are the sheep represent that which is agreeable with truth, because the voice of the shepherd is truth. That which is agreeable with truth. Praise God. And truth has got nothing to do with our works as men. Truth has got nothing to do with our righteousness as men. Truth is all about truth. Truth is all about originality. Praise God. And Jesus Christ makes it plain here that those who have done good inherit eternal life. So how can we do good? A rich man came to Jesus Christ and, you know, was trying to ask Jesus how he could, you know, inherit eternal life. He said, Master, what should I do to inherit this eternal life? And, you know, it turned out that this guy was very religious. He was righteous according to the standards of men. See, but Jesus Christ told him one thing, that he had to lose everything as he had acquired upon the earth to gain that which is heavenly. And Jesus Christ now said that in that parable, that it is easier for the, you know, the camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into God's kingdom. Who is the rich man? The rich man is the carnal man, is the man of the flesh. At the end of that, Jesus Christ says that the last shall be the first and the first shall be the last. What is he saying here? You can see that all that is God desires is the first state. All that God desires is that which is original, because the first shall be the last is speaking about something that has been. To enter into God's kingdom, you must rediscover the way you were initially in the beginning. Because the way you are in the beginning is the perfect state that is accepted by God, or rather even known of God. Because God created you perfect, holy, in his image and in his likeness, and there is nothing to add or remove from it. You don't need to be religious to attain to the place that God wants you to attain to. What God needs is simply ability to recognize truth, to know yourself the way you are known of God in truth. Hence the revelation of Christ. Because the Spirit of truth, the voice of the Spirit, will only lead you through the door back into that original state that God generated you in the beginning. And I tell you, God did not generate you flesh and blood. God did not generate you to be a terrestrial creature. Rather, God generated you celestial in his image, which is pure spirit. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Our ability to recognize our origin in that one spirit, which is God, is what opens the gate of God's kingdom for us. Oh, hallelujah. As the voice of the Spirit goes forth, and as we are ushered in before the throne of God, which is present, like I said, I've been before this throne, I've been before this presence for the past 25 years, and I tell you, once you are before this throne, you can never get away from standing before this throne. See, try it. If you make your bed in hell, it's there. If you try to go somewhere and hide in some kind of system of religion, he's there. Once the invisible things of God are unveiled before our eyes, we will always ever remain before that presence. And as long as we stand contrary to the will of God, there is no peace for the wicked. Bear in mind that the wicked is anything that is a deviation from that original man that is known of God. So let us go back. Who are the sheep? My sheep hear my voice. And the sheep pass through a door into God's kingdom, into a place of abundance. And Jesus Christ says here that, you know, the shepherd himself is the door. I am the door. I am the way. So for the sheep to pass through that door, they must identify with the Christ. Now the Christ, like I said, is not a physical being, is not a human being. The Christ is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. Praise God. Meaning that our entrance into God's abundance is our ability to recognize our origin in the eternal Spirit and to, by faith, walk in that reality, because that is who we are. Praise God. Now the transgression that we know of Adam, or the sin of man, the transgression of man is that man has abandoned his original spiritual state and has deviated and become a terrestrial being. That is the sin. Man has put on the mark of the beast, and that is why he says that, you see, their mark is not my mark. Man in the transgression puts on a different nature, a mark, a nature that is contrary to that of the Father God. And that nature is the carnal nature, the terrestrial nature, the earthly nature, a nature that kind of causes all men to live separately, independent of the eternal Spirit of God. The sheep who do good, the sheep who are the righteous of God, are those who rediscover themselves back in the beginning. See, discover themselves back in truth. So the sheep are those who have allowed the guardians of the Spirit lead them. Those that are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And I can tell you, sons of God are not flesh and blood. Sons of God are spirit. Praise God. When John saw 144,000 upon Mount Zion, having the name of the Father upon their forehead, meaning these ones have now rediscovered themselves in that original image. See, notice that these ones were led by the lamp. The Bible says they follow the lamp wherever it goes. They allow the guidance of the Spirit lead them back to their place in the heights of God. Praise God. So you can see the good and perfect will of God for us. See, that which is pleasing to God is that every man recognize the truth about himself and walk in truth. If you recognize the truth about yourself, you will know that there is only one that lives and there are no two. There is only one, and that is the Spirit, eternal Spirit of God, and we are all one spirit with the Lord. Praise God. All these things destroys our ego, our pride, our lusts, and it causes us to now walk free of the law, walk free of condemnation, and to realize everything, the glory of God, you know, consciously. Praise God. So the voice that says to the sheep, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world." From the foundation of the world here is a kingdom that has been even before this world was. See, a kingdom that does not perish, not imperishable kingdom, a kingdom reserved for us, a kingdom reserved for those who love God. But how can you hear that voice that says, "Come ye blessed of the Father"? See it. "Come ye blessed of my Father and inherit the kingdom." How can you hear that voice? It's simply by recognizing your true identity, recognizing the Son of God in you, because that kingdom in reality is the kingdom of God's own son. Nothing apart from that which is God's own son can enter into that kingdom. See it, and it will mean a detachment from that which is external, detachment from this world, and recognizing your place in the spirit, in God's invisible kingdom. It's a confirmation, it's a confession of the Christ in you. Salvation comes by confessing the Christ, recognizing the Christ and confessing the Christ. See it, aligning yourself with the Christ. When Paul says, "It's no longer I," Paul has left aside life after the flesh and has now united himself with Christ the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. Isn't that what Paul writes? The Lord is the Spirit. Paul has now united himself with that Spirit. And in so doing, the kingdom of the door into God's kingdom is made plain, open for him. And he now becomes a partaker of God's kingdom of light. So you can see that the things of God are free. God is not out to punish anybody. God is not out to torment anybody. Praise God, the dead who are in their graves, see it, those who are buried in the realm of death, which is this world that does not know the secret of life, and on hearing the voice of truth, arise before the throne, before the judgment seat of God. And automatically there is a separation between the sheep and the goats. The goat represents liars. And we know that the devil is the liar from the beginning. And who is the liar? Anyone that denies the Christ is the liar. Is the carnal being, is the carnal consciousness, the carnal mind that denies that, you know, the Christ in you. Praise God. So anything that is carnal, anything that is has been planted in our minds, all these things are destroyed in this lake of fire, in this fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. See, and this burning is continuous. See, and I tell you, when something burns in God's lake of fire, in God's presence, or before God's presence, it's actually the effect of the light. You know, when light appears, darkness disappears. Praise God. It's not as if God is taking people and casting them somewhere in some kind of physical fire. It's simply the consummation, the destruction, the annihilation of the lie or anything that is contrary to Christ. Anything that is not agreeable to the Spirit of God in our lives. When once you hear the truth and the things of the Spirit become apparent, when the things of the Spirit become plain to you, you have no choice but to agree with God. Otherwise, you will never find rest for your soul ever again. Praise God. So there's a separation. Every trace of carnality within us is being cast into that lake of fire and destroyed. And what emerges actually is only the Christ. That which remains is only that which is spirit. The pure consciousness of the lamp of God. Praise God. So you can see, if you look at it from without, those who refuse to accept the gospel of God can only receive torment. See it, when they hear the message and they reject it. When they hear the message and they turn their backs on the message, it amounts to turning your back on the grace of God and insulting the Spirit of God. And the reality, God does not have to do anything. God will not do anything to anybody. It's just that the reality of that presence, the reality of that presence that fills all in all, will eventually prevail on the transgressors. Praise God. So if you want peace and if you want to experience the joy of paradise, the only thing to do is to align yourself with God. God's kingdom is a kingdom of pleasures. God's kingdom is a kingdom of joy unspeakable. There is a place where God puts an end to darkness, a place where God puts an end to confusion and fear. These are the things that characterize this world that we live in: anxiety, fear. All these things come to a grinding halt when you rediscover the realm that God has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There is a realm of bliss, a joy, hallelujah, praise God. There is a kingdom, a place where the rivers make glad the city of God, hallelujah. There is a place of shouting, of rejoicing, of wild jubilation. But all these things are hidden from men who walk according to the flesh. But they are made plain to those who allow themselves to be driven back into their true identities as the spiritual one, which is Christ. It means that we abandon our ideals of life, what we thought life was. Abandon our religion, because our religion cannot cause us to inherit God's kingdom. With religion, you will only go around in circles, hoping for something to happen, not realizing that God's kingdom is already present now. Praise God, the gates of God's kingdom are open for everyone to enter in and enjoy peace and rest for your soul. Praise God. Religion will only take you around in circles and cause you to wait for something to happen, something that will never happen. Praise God. You will go around in circles repenting and trying to be a good man, and you will never come to the realization of the truth that God only wants you to see yourself the way He knows you. And God knows you as that man created perfect in His image and in His likeness. Hallelujah. God knows you as that perfect celestial man who is in the bosom of God. Recognition is the key. Praise God. Recognition of yourself, recognition of the spiritual man that you are, recognition of that one man that feels all in all, because recognition of that one man is what will cause you to manifest love and respect. It is what will cause you to feed the hungry. It's what will cause you to clothe the naked. It is what will cause you to visit those in the prison, because you are seeing the Christ as your eyes are opened and you are abandoning the lies of what we thought ourselves to be and what your neighbor to be and all of that. As you abandon all that and begin to recognize that there is only one who spans all in all, the way into God's kingdom is made plain to you. Praise God. You begin to see that there is only one that lives, and we are all partakers in that one. We are all one in that one body. Paul calls it many members, one body. We are all baptized into one body, into one name, into one spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And this is the thing that will cause us to escape the corruption that is in this world: recognition of this eternal self that the Lord is revealing to us in this day. Praise God. He says that the hour comes when some people will ask, when did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you in prison? Jesus Christ says, the least you do unto these ones, you do unto me. Now, he's not talking about the least you do unto your Christian brothers or the ones that go to the same church with you. See, your eyes have to be open to see that there is only one in the whole of creation, and that is the Christ. All are Christ's. Praise God. And the moment we begin to walk in relation to this reality, it will save us a lot of embarrassment. It will save us a lot of trouble. Praise God. It will purify us. Because no murderer, no liar has a part in God's kingdom. And how can you purify yourself? You can purify yourself by recognizing that one life, which is the Christ, which is in all men. Praise God. So as we hear the voice of the Spirit, we awaken from the deadness of human living, from the deadness of carnality, and we begin to awaken back into the, you know, into that one life, which is the life of the Lord. We all begin to be called once more by that one name, which is the name of the Lord. Praise God. And enter into God's kingdom. Enter, blessed of my Father. See it. Enter. You enter recognizing yourself as the Son. Praise God. You enter recognizing yourself as the Spirit. You enter by recognizing truth as it is from foundation of the world. It will mean a letting go of the lies of this outer world, and by walking in the Spirit as the Spirit. Praise God. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians that with unveiled faces, as we behold the glory of God, we are transformed into that same image of the Lord, and we know that the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Lord is, there is liberty. See, as we hear the voice of truth, what happens actually is that we are brought before the presence, and we behold the splendor. We are beholding, we are contemplating with an open face the glorious presence of the Eternal One, and there is a confirmation unto that same spiritual image of Him that sits upon the throne. Everything carnal, everything that is contrary to that image is dissolved as we stand before that presence, whether we like it or not. Praise God. If we like, we can align with the gods and become rebellious and try to do what we want, and we want to get away from the voice of God, and we want to just do what we want. You just suffer for nothing, and you will still come back to the to this same place to receive from the Lord at the end, after many things have gone wrong. Praise God. So this parable is something that is happening right now. As we hear the voice of truth, the Lord is gathering the nations before Him, and there is a separation, you know, of the sheep from the goat. Everything that is a lie, you know, is of the goats, of the devil, and everything of the truth is of the Lord. Praise God. And the Lord is guiding His saints once more to that place, hallelujah, to that place of gladness, to the right hand of God, hallelujah, the place where hell ceases to be. Hell, your confusion, destruction, and every miserable, every unspeakable miserable, all that ceases as you realize this dimension at the right hand of God, the place of power, that dimension that God has prepared for you. He says, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. God will not allow His Holy One to see corruption. Who's the Holy One of God? You in your true identity. You in your awoken state. You, the way you are known of God, is the true and Holy One. Allow the voice of the Spirit lead you into this reality and confess it with all boldness. Praise God. See it. Thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. See, Eden means pleasure. The Garden of Eden means the garden of pleasures, the garden of enjoyment. Pleasures, joy unspeakable, a realm prepared, imperishable, reserved for us in heaven. We who allow the Lord to counsel us in the night season, We who allow the Spirit lead us into that presence, into that state, back into the consciousness that we lost in Adam. Praise God. The Lord is leading us through that path of life, that narrow path of life, back to the right hand of God, to the place of all power. It is written that Jesus Christ has been risen far above all principalities and powers, and is seated at the right hand of God. Is the place of all power, the place where you are infinitely above the horrors of humanity, a place of perfect peace and joy. Hallelujah. Receive this word today and confess the Christ in you. Confess your spirituality. All the Father wants is you to wake up. And when you wake up to the reality of who you are, He will hear that voice that says, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit a kingdom prepared for you." Praise God. It's not a kingdom for flesh and blood, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If we walk in the flesh, we are still asleep. See it. We have turned away from our true identities. We are asleep, and we are asleep in the dust. See, but when we awake, the psalmist says, "I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." When you awake, you discover that the way is the way you are. Awake, thou that sleepest. Awake, and you will discover your perfect self. You awake by faith. See, you begin to confess. First of all, it comes by hearing, and you begin to confess what you've heard. You don't need to be discouraged, because nobody is condemning you. So you don't need to give up because of something that is holding you or whatever. Because truth cannot be changed. Just continue in it and confess it, and you will see this kingdom being realized. You will experience it. These things are true. The Lord has showed me these things. It's not just a matter of reading books. I've seen these things firsthand, and I testify that these things are truth. This is the day of the judgment of God. This is the day to enter in and partake of the blessings of God. God bless you. Amen.
And love.